you come up?
Laura?
Hi. Did you turn the TV on for the outside people? Don't they seem to think we might have more sound? Is that true or not?
Come on. I have to get closer to the mic.
All right, then I'm going to shout.
Yes.
It's okay.
I had to write my ideas down. They would not have come out properly.
Most of you know who I am. For those of you from away, I'm Laura Suma. And I'm humbled to speak about my friend Bill. Since his tragic death, I've had the honor to proudly inform a lot of people who didn't know him. They didn't understand, they didn't know anything about this unassuming, quiet nature of Bill. They're curious about this man who was taken from our lives so quickly on that beautiful fall day. And so I've described him. He was extraordinary yet ordinary. It's a confusing contradiction. I explained that he was incredibly gentle and kind, but strong and tough, that he was a highly accomplished musician and a creative composer, yet so humble. But I'm sorry to say, I never got to hear him play. I know this to be true from his other musician friends. He was well-educated, he was well-read, he was a critical thinker, an intellectual laborer who had a brilliant mind and a knack for translating really complex issues to people like myself, who struggle just to get it. There are many times when I found myself alongside his red truck while he patiently explained the complex subjects of religious wars in the Middle East and how the home mortgages in our country triggered the entire global economic collapse. And oh yeah, what a dry, self-deprecating sense of humor he had. I can picture his face right now as he tipped his head forward and his glasses hanging off his nose and his eyes rolling in his head as they go on and on about the story of Bill. He lived these contradictions naturally and gracefully, without contrivance, without pretense. This is what made Bill one of my favorite people and such an interesting and inspiring friend. Amongst all of his impressive talents, we found a common ground in our work and our children. Our friendship was different. It was very organic. Some would have considered us just acquaintances. We never shared dinner together. We never attended a social gathering together. Our friendship sort of ebbed and flowed for years around our work and our kids. When Erin was 15, she came to clean houses with me. When my son John was 15, he began mowing lawns with Bill. 5 years ago, Erin transformed my unsightly, gnarly front yard into a lovely landscape showcase, allowing her to launch her new business, and one of the reasons she's returned to Chevy. And 2 years ago, my daughter, Caroline, began her farming education with Erin. So, as co-workers, we supported each other with lists of things to do, which summer person was arriving, whose grass needed to be mowed, and I would remind him, and don't forget to rake their bill. He would say, I believe so-and-so is on the boat. Did you know they were coming? Is their house ready yet? And as parents, we supported each other through our silent requests. We both had agendas and used each other for parental maneuvering. I would say, Bill, see if you can get John to agree to go back to school next semester and finish his degree. And he would reply, and maybe you could let Erin know that I'm ready for grandchildren anytime. remind each other of the virtues of patience. He explained that struggles in adolescence are often cured with time and constant guidance. And I would remind him, Aaron needs to find love first. We trust each other with our children. This is why Bill is important to me. And that is why I was important to him. They are our priorities. There's nothing more precious or sacred, and we both knew that. Thank you for allowing me to speak. And one more thing. The Wethams have trouble delegating. So they have given us a gift in allowing us to organize this event. This has been very healing for us, and it's the only way that we can begin to help to ease your pain. So thank you for letting go. Oh.